from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good evening and welcome to a special edition of Washington Watch. We're broadcasting from Israel. We're actually in Jerusalem, in the heart of Israel. I'm going to take you tonight beyond the headlines to what has been happening and what is happening here in Israel. Washington Watch starts now.
Our ability to deter bad actors is completely gone away. There's no way to explain what's going on in the world other than people believe that America is no longer a worthy opponent.
That was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday. Senator Graham has been one of the most outspoken supporters of Israel in the United States Senate, and he joins me in just a moment. And is the risk to America growing?
Crisis has galvanized violence in a range of actors around the world, and while it is too early to tell, it is likely that the Gaza crisis will have a generational impact on terrorism.
That was Averill Haynes, Director of National Intelligence, during a hearing yesterday at the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll also be joined by CBN's Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell, who has been with us on a lot of our journey throughout Israel this week. And during our time here in Israel, we've seen the areas that Hamas invaded on October the 7th. We've spoken to many government leaders. And what we've found is there is a resolve to protect Israel.
We have taken measures to minimize civilian casualties that no other army has taken in history. So to our friends in the international community, I say this. You cannot say you support Israel's right to exist and to defend itself, and then oppose Israel when it exercises that right.
Amir Sarfati joins me here in Jerusalem a little bit later on this edition of Washington Watch. But before we dive into today's issue, let's remember the bedrock principles that guide us here at Washington Watch: faith, family, and freedom. And these are not just words, but they're the very foundation of our great nation. So whether you're joining us from the heart of Washington, D.C., or the heart of Israel here in Jerusalem, we're doing this so that you can be encouraged and that you will stand up, speak up, and be a part of the solution. Well, as Israel's war against Hamas continues, a Qatar official involved in negotiations said the two sides remain not near a deal as Hamas continues to demand a permanent end to the fighting that they began on October the 7th. In Washington, appeasement of the left in election year has weakened the support from the Biden administration. Of course, this is not the first time that we've seen weakness portrayed by President Biden, which leads to damaging consequences on the world stage. Join me now by phone to discuss this and more, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He serves on four Senate committees, including the Senate Judiciary Committee, where he's the ranking member, and the Senate Appropriations Committee. And he's, quite frankly, I think one of the most knowledgeable when it comes to foreign policy issues, especially in the Middle East. Senator Graham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. And Tony, thank you for being in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, wherever you're at in Israel, at a time it really matters. I'm honored to be with you, and I'm honored to call you my friend.
Well, Senator, your name has come up a lot of the meetings we've had with governmental leaders. They appreciate your outspoken support for Israel as they increasingly feel like they're alone. A couple of things they've been asking for is clear support from the United States. You've been very critical, and rightfully so, I would add, of President Biden and his equivocation when it comes to America's support of Israel.
So 33 Americans were killed during this attack. We tend to forget that. And if Hamas could, they would add a lot of zeros to that 33. They're radical Islamists. They want to kill the state of Israel. They want the world to bow down to Islam under their terms. They would come after us if we could. This is World War II for Israel. This is Pearl Harbor and 9/11 rolled into one. Did anybody suggest to the to our country after Pearl Harbor, be careful how many Germans or Japanese you kill? I don't want innocent people to die, but Israel has to destroy Hamas. Hamas is using the Palestinian people as shields, and I'm going to give Israel the time and the space it needs to destroy Hamas militarily. No more October 7th. This is the largest loss of life of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. President Biden. Israel is the good guy, Hamas is the bad guy, and Iran is the great Satan. Without Iran, there would be no attack.
So, Senator, I want to talk about those, the civilians that are now really at issue as there's this concentration as they've fled south, and they're being blocked from leaving. Egypt won't allow right. them in. Why can the United States, which, you know, Egypt receives a lot of foreign aid from the United States because of the relationship they have with Israel, why are we not talking with them about setting up temporary places for these refugees out of Gaza so that Hamas can be eliminated?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, we are talking to them. But here's what I would say. A lot of people are reluctant to take Palestinian refugees because the Palestinians have been taught since birth to kill all the Jews. They hate, you know, all of these regimes that are not like the Ayatollah. So Egypt's very worried they will be accepting a bunch of terrorists. So what we have right. to do here is try to get Saudi Arabia and Israel to get that normalization deal done, then have Saudi Arabia take over the Palestinian file, de-radicalize the country, change our school system, take the military capability away from Palestinians to attack Israel in the future. That's the way to get this thing started. But there's six brigades of Hamas fighters still left, four of them in Rafah. We have to let Israel destroy Hamas militarily. It would be like putting 80% of a fire out. You got to put all the fire
right.
out. So I am That's challenging the Biden administration to say that if the hostages are released, the war is not over. The war is over when Israel destroys Hamas militarily, when they can have the peace of mind never to have another October 7th. It is not over until that day comes. To my friends in Israel, do what you have to do as long as you have to do it. We have your back.
Senator, for the international community, the surrounding countries that are not wanting to receive these refugees, these individuals in Hamas, which we are concerned about. We don't want innocent civilians to die at all. We want them to be able to get out. But they're not willing to take them for the very reasons that you stated. So why is the international community criticizing Israel and not Hamas for using these people as human shields?
Because anti-Semitism is alive and well. Our Jewish brothers and sisters are facing threats all over the world. I just had Morgan Ortega. You know Morgan. She was Pompeo's press secretary. She
right.
lives in Nashville. Her daughter's 3.5. The Jewish school is like an armed camp. The Jewish people are under threat
yes.
in every capital in the world. The media, if you just watched the news, you thought Israel's the bad guy. So
right.
God blesses those who bless Israel. We're not going
yes.
down that road as a country. These schools that have from the river to the sea. So you think you're living in the 1930s. So here's what I would say to the international community. If Hamas survives, they're coming after you. It's non-negotiable
right.
to destroy Hamas after October the 7th. If they're still standing when this is over, radical Islam will be on steroids all over the planet. ISIS is coming back in Afghanistan. They kill people in a concert hall in Paris. We're in a religious war, my friend. Radical Islam wants to bend everybody to their will, and they will kill in the name of God. And that's what I want you to understand. Dying is first prize for these nut jobs.
And you've been here. You were here right after the attacks. I was down on the Gaza Strip right there in the corridor where these attacks. I saw the atrocities. Unbelievable, unspeakable. It shouldn't be a question. I know you've got over. You actually have a meeting with the Israeli ambassador there in D.C. But you mentioned Saudi Arabia. That came up. I
yes.
met Monday night with the prime minister. We had a great meeting with the prime minister talking about a number of things. I had an opportunity to pray with the prime minister and encourage him. But he said normalization with relations with Saudi Arabia would be a game changer. Explain why.
Okay, if you could have Saudi Arabia recognize the Jewish state for what it is, a Jewish state, the keeper of the mosque in Mecca, Medina, the center of the faith, it would end the Arab-Israeli conflict. Why this attack on October the 7th? The Iranians live in fear of the Arabs and the Israelis making peace. It would isolate the Ayatollah even more. This attack was generated by support from Iran. Iran's nightmares for the Arabs, Saudi Arabia, and Israel to make peace and live together and build on the Abraham Accords. They did this to stop reconciliation. Let's not let the Iranians win. So I'm going back to Saudi Arabia. I'm going back to Israel. My hope is that Saudi Arabia and Israel can reconcile, build on the Abraham Accords, take the Mideast in a new direction, and isolate Iran. That's what this is about. The great Satan is Iran. The Israelis are not killing the Americans, President Biden. The red line should be against the Iranian Ayatollah, not against Bibi. Bibi's not the problem. The root of all evil is the religious Nazi running Iran, the Ayatollah.
Can that happen under a Biden administration?
I think it's the best time for it to happen in this regard. 45 Republican senators will be there if Israel supports the peace agreement, the normalization deal. I think Biden can twist enough Democratic arms. But the Democratic Party is becoming more and more anti-Israel. The support for Israel is weakening among the Democrats. That's a sad day for America. Israel needs weapons without conditions. Again, I'll end this where we began. What would America do if somebody told us after 9/11, after Pearl Harbor, you're overreacting? They're in a fight for their life in Israel, for the existence of the Jewish people. And we will be there for them, Tony. Thank you for going and broadcasting from Israel. To everyone who's listening on this show today, we live in the most troubled times I can remember since I have been in politics. The world is on fire. Russia has invaded Ukraine. China is up to no good all over the planet. And our Jewish brothers and sisters are trying to be annihilated. It is now time to stand strong and without apology for our friends in Israel.
I agree 100%. Senator Lindsey Graham, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining me this evening. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Let me just say, echoing kind of one of the things, echoing what Senator Graham there said, one of the things that really struck me is I was down in one of the kibbutz that was overrun on October the 7th, where, frankly, the people were unarmed, and the Hamas terrorists knew that. And by the way, I know we call them terrorists because their activities are terroristic, but they're actually an army. And they have brigades. They are trained. They're equipped. But there were people from all over the world, Jews from all over the world, that came to Israel because of the persecution that the Jews have historically had and are presently having in different parts of the world. They said, we came here because this was home. This was going to be a place of home and peace. That's now shattered. And it just really struck me that we need to be praying for true peace to come to this land and for peace to come into the hearts of the people in this land. I want to join you. I've been praying across this nation this week. You can continue through the rest of the week. You can be a part of that. Join me each morning. Text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. And join us in this prayer effort to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel. And as Lindsey Graham said, the word is very clear. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. In America, we need God's blessing. We need to stand with Israel in this moment. All right, don't go away. When we come back, Chris Mitchell, who is the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN, joins us. Don't go away. We're back from Jerusalem after this.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipled their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. We're broadcasting from Jerusalem, the studios at CBN News here in Jerusalem with our good friend Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN. Chris, I've kept you up many late nights to join me in Washington. Thanks for
and sometimes right here.
I know. I recognize it. It's weather's a little bit better than it is back in D.C. Not quite as humid. Look, you know, we're down here in Jerusalem, but this week the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah fired more than 100 rockets into northern Israel, among the largest airstrikes that we've seen since the...
In just one day.
Right, in just one day. That was that today or yesterday?
2 days ago, I think.
Yeah. And so that's the most we've seen since the conflict began in Gaza, the war begun. You know, this comes as the Biden administration, as we were just talking with Senator Graham, has equivocated a little bit. Is that, is this connected to America's weakness?
I would think so. And we've talked about this, Tony, and not just equivocation, but I think actually sort of an aggressive move against the Netanyahu government. I mean, we see that in articles like The New Yorker just a few days ago. We've seen it in the intelligence review that was announced in The New York Times and The Wall Street Journal, saying that there's a sense that the Netanyahu government's going to fall, the coalition. And I was on earlier with Gordon Robertson on the 700 Club. I don't sense that either.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I've not gone up north. Our group is going north tomorrow. But I've been all through the south, been into Samaria and Judea. I've not picked up on anything to the contrary.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, everyone, even some of his political adversaries are saying this is not, that's October 6th.
Exactly.
We're
exactly.
not doing that. Yeah. And they explain October 6th means you're divided.
Right.
This is October 7th. We're united.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. October 7th changed things dramatically here in Israel. October 6th and before that, for a number of months, was divisive. There was a sense that maybe the government would fall. There was an attack against the government on the streets of Tel Aviv. October 7th united the country like never before. There is not 100%,
right,
but I think most Israelis are resolute to make sure that the goals of the war, which is the elimination of Hamas as a threat, the release and the return of all the hostages, and to make sure that Israelis on the southern border and the northern border can go back to their homes, because there's about well more than 100,000 Israelis from the north and the south that can't go home because they're just afraid of either Hamas or Hezbollah.
Well, and the prime minister brought that up in our meeting with him on Monday night. Other governmental leaders we've talked to have talked about that, but they also talk about the arsenal that Hezbollah has, and how significant it is, and how some of it is fairly advanced.
Very much so. It's precision guided, maybe 10 times the firepower that Hamas had. Maybe they've estimated 150,000, 200,000 rockets that you could fire thousands in one day. I mean, 100 were fired the other day. What if 1,000 are fired or more against specific targets inside Israel? It could be a game changer. So that's probably the nightmare scenario on the north, and why Israel is preparing for possible war sometime, maybe in a few months.
Kind of explain to our viewers and listeners, Chris, I mean, you've been here over 20 years. And I mean, there's always skirmishes in this land that we hear about. Why is this different? And there's a sense here that there is no plan B. We have to win. That if we don't win, it's over.
They see this as an existential war. Not only, you're not only looking at Hamas, you're looking at Hezbollah, you're looking at Iranian-backed militias in Syria and Iraq, you're looking at the Houthis, and most of all, they're looking at Iran, even though it's not in the headlines right now, a nuclear Iran.
They're kind of the puppet master, though.
Exactly. They're pulling the strings all through the Middle East, sort of this ring of fire around Israel trying to destroy the Jewish state.
I didn't have time to get into this with Senator Graham, but he knows this well. This is a different neighborhood. The Middle East. It's a tough neighborhood. And if you're not tough, you don't survive.
That's right. And we heard last night, Ariel Lightstone, who was the former advisor, assistant to Ambassador Friedman, he said Friedman, one of the best things he ever said to Lightstone was, in the Middle East, you're either strong or you're dead. And so that's the kind of neighborhood Israel lives in.
I mean, even in this situation, Israel can't fight to a draw because that's not... That means somebody else is coming.
That's right.
Against them.
Yeah,
they have to show themselves strong, a resolve to eliminate those that would do them harm.
That's right. And we were also hearing last night in a briefing that that the doctrine of Hamas is not necessarily to win, but not to lose.
Right.
So if they can survive, they can claim victory, and that's what they did in 2021 here, and they can do that again. And I know how much time we have, but I know we're going to have another segment. But I wanted to ask you, and we talked about this earlier.
Hey, it's my show. Who said you could ask questions?
What does this mean for America? I mean.
Well, I see, the reason I'm here, I don't like to travel, quite frankly, especially internationally. But we're here. I love Israel. I've come here more than any other country I've traveled to. But we're here. I'm here because I believe America's future is intertwined with Israel's future. And I say that from a spiritual standpoint that, you know, America 60 years ago departed from the ways and the words of God. We've been creeping away from God. And, you know, we were on Mount Blessing the other day. You were with us. And the blessing of God comes from obedience to God. And we've stopped that. And therefore, the blessing of God, I don't believe, is upon our nation. But what has preserved our nation, I believe, is that we have stood with Israel. We've been kind of a bulwark, a shield, a protector to Israel. If we cease doing that, I'm concerned about our future.
That's
the way I see it.
And America's future will affect Western civilization.
It'll be like dominoes. It will fall like dominoes, because if America falls, Israel falls. I mean, think about, you know, the way we conduct ourselves and the value we place on human life, that Judeo-Christian ethic, that understanding that all life is created by God and therefore has value. Chris, we're up against a break. You asked that question and you made me run out of time. All right, folks, don't go away, because on the other side of the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Chris Mitchell, the Middle East Bureau Chief here at CBN News in Jerusalem. Also, I want to encourage you to join us in praying for Israel this week. Text the word Israel to 67742, and you can join me each morning as I pray at different places. here in Israel. So don't go away. We're coming back. Also, still to come, Amir Sarfati is going to be joining me here as well in Jerusalem. You won't want to miss that conversation either. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins here in Jerusalem. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, and we are broadcasting from Jerusalem. We are in Israel this week as we are visiting with governmental leaders, civic leaders, and others to discuss not just what happened on October the 7th, but the way forward and how evangelicals can stand with Israel and how important that is in this moment. This is not just like any other moment. It is much different. My guest in this segment, Chris Mitchell's, who is the Middle East Bureau Chief here for CBN News, who so kindly hosted us here tonight for the program. Chris, I know you see a lot of Christian evangelicals from America come here. I mean, they got to kind of check in at CBN. Oh, this is the place. You've been with us on some of our interactions, some places we've gone. Anything that stuck out to you from our trip, that the interactions we've had?
Sure. First of all, any solidarity mission, any group like you coming, is really encouraging to Israelis. They see that you're standing with them. You're not only, but you're here on the ground. It means a lot. So I've seen a number of groups come here, but I think the group, your group, really made a difference. I think in the fact that when you went down to the site of the Nova Music Festival,
which
that,
is the first attack took place just less than a half a mile from the Gaza border.
It was a massacre. Yeah. I mean, almost 400 people were murdered, just
brutally murdered.
Maybe around 40 kidnapped. The atrocities are horrific. Burned cars, people burned in their cars. You went there with Mario Bramnik, his wife, Acela, Sarah Carter from Fox News, Ellie Konim, and Donna Tralee from here, Israel 365. You prayed, and you not only prayed, but you repented for the sins of America, because indirectly, over years, the U.S. has been funding UNRWA, which has become a front for Hamas.
We've talked about that on this program a lot. UNRWA, from the times I came here to Israel, 12, 13 years ago, briefed by the Palestinian Watch on what UNRWA was funding, the poisoning the minds of these kids.
Yes, exactly.
Of course, we now know from Israeli intelligence reports that there were direct involvement by UNRWA employees in the massacre, and much more widespread in terms of its support of October the 7th. And so, yes, and that doesn't even bring in Iran, where we release millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to Iran that has been the funder of terror. So, yes, we repented of how we have facilitated this, but then we went on to pray with the authority that we have, the keys of the kingdom, to lock those financial doors from the United States to bind that from coming and facilitating any more terror against the people of Israel.
I think the message that your group sends is that don't underestimate the spiritual nature of this battle.
But, go ahead.
No, in the spiritual power and authority that we have given by the Lord, by Jesus, what he said, you have been given the keys of the kingdom.
But Chris, even in my conversation with the prime minister, that came up at this is not just terrorist group and Israel. This is not just bad guys. This is evil. And I said, Mr. Prime Minister, there's no other way to explain this other than this is spiritual. Yeah. This is demonic. This is evil.
Right.
This is what we saw. When you hear, and I don't like to repeat it because it's bad stuff.
Yeah.
But it's evil. It comes from the pit of hell.
Yeah. And we saw that. We went to the Kibbutz Be'eri right there on the border as well. We heard the atrocity stories there.
We saw the rooms.
Yep. Where people were murdered. Where a 13-year-old girl had to put a tourniquet on her father, saved her father and her...
Her brother.
But her mother died. And so... You know, some horrific stories people put in circumstances nobody should ever be put in.
Right.
But the spiritual nature, the fact that we do have that authority to pray, to repent, to fast. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is something we've talked about, too. How my people, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I'll hear from heaven, heal their land.
There's also a spiritual awakening of sorts taking place here in Israel.
Totally, totally. In fact, it happened in 1973 when they were surprised in the Yom Kippur War. There was a revival of people, Jews, returning to Judaism, to their faith. I've heard that what's happened then is exponentially happened now. A lot of people are looking for Messiah.
Yeah.
I've heard that there are flags in Gaza right now with the king, the crown, and expecting the time of the Messiah. And some people are coming to faith in Yeshua as well.
You were with us this morning on Temple Mount.
That's right, yeah.
And we were standing there at the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
And I was waiting to see if it was going to open.
Well, we're living in those days, it feels like.
I speak to that. We just got about a minute left. So. Been here over 20 years. What's different about this moment?
October 7th changed Israel. It changed, I think, the world. And I think right now we're seeing a sense of the birth pangs like I've never seen in my 23 years here.
And I know you didn't pray this on Temple Mount, but it sure sounded like it.
Come quickly, Lord
Come
Jesus.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You did pray that.
Yeah.
Chris Mitchell, always great to see you.
Great to see you, Tom.
Thank you so much for hosting us.
Okay. Great to be with you.
All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we're coming back with more Washington Watch. Amir Sarfati joins me next as we continue to talk about what's happening here in Israel. And I do want to encourage you to join me in praying through Israel. As we pray each morning here in Israel, text Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742. And be sure and tune in to CBN News to get the latest from Israel from Chris Mitchell. All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back after this.
Chris.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community. Which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. We're broadcasting in Jerusalem. We're at the studios of CBN News here in the heart of Jerusalem, and I want to thank you for joining us. Amir Sarfati, my guest. Amir, great to see you again.
Great to see you, Tony.
So, you know, Amir, enemies have risen up against Israel and God's people since almost the beginning of time. How important is it to have a biblical understanding of that as we face this current, what's been described on the program already today as existential threat toward Israel?
Yes. Well, first of all, it's important to know that God is in control, and throughout history, he's always been there for his people. So the promises that we have in the Bible are that he's going to get us through all of these things. Nothing surprised him. So it's important to hold a biblical perspective of the history of Israel in order to understand that he is still on the throne today, and he will carry us through this even in the future. So not to fret, not to think that we're... Look, a lot of people that are holding the replacement theology, for example, they think that the state of Israel is an accident. Right. They think that it's not exactly the will of God.
So, a miracle of God. Okay.
Exactly. It has to be a miracle because it was against all odds. Well, every time something like this happens, they think, okay, well, we may have been right after all, and they're not going to last. And over again, since 1948 through 56 and 67 and 73, throughout the Lebanon War and the Gulf War and all the intifadas and the second Lebanon War, God has been faithful. Yeah. And we're still here and we're strong and we will win.
It goes back even further than that. I was reading, Amir, this morning in my reading in our 2-year journey through the Bible, reading in Numbers chapters 19 mm-hmm. and 20, Israel coming out of the 40 years in the wilderness. It was interesting. They marched out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness, but they marched into the promised land. But what was interesting is they sought peace. They just wanted to pass through the various countries, the regions, wanted to be on the king's highway. They wouldn't let them pass. They didn't pick a fight. But when the fight came, not only did they win, but they got all the real estate. It's like every time somebody comes against Israel to take what God has given them, Israel ends up with more.
And that's the testimony of Rahab when she talked to the spies in Jericho. She said, we've heard of your God and what he did right. to all those kings. The rumor went out. And when you have a biblical perspective, it immediately births God-fearing.
So let's talk about that biblical perspective for Christians. Not the folks here in Israel. They have a history. They know what's going on. But you have a lot of people in the church a little ambivalent about what's happening right now.
Yeah. Well, they are because, A, they let the Midianites feed them, the media, the secular media. So that's the first thing. And also, they are not 100% sure that God is going to push through this with Israel, that Israel is going to survive. They let fear crawl into their hearts and disbelief. It's important that we understand it's the same God who fought for us then that is fighting for us right now. Miracles upon miracles. Yes, October 7th was horrific. And yes, even the Holocaust was horrific. But that doesn't mean that God is done with us. It means that evil was crawling, trying to make its move, and God stopped it. And
let me just add to that, because the plan, I understand, in talking to some of the leaders and the various ones we've met with, that the plan was to occupy.
Absolutely. They have occupied a portion of the land for 3 days. We're talking about dozens of Israeli settlements, and a few of the military installations were occupied.
Because civilians actually came in behind the Hamas army.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It was first Hamas special forces, then civilians in the second wave. And they have occupied for 3 days. It was, and by the way, the plan was to go further all the way into major air bases, into major strategic military bases.
So this wasn't a hit and run terrorist attack.
We found in their pockets, we found plans for what I think should have been months of fights. And the reason is they were banking on Hezbollah, the Houthis, and the resistance in Iraq and Syria to join. They thought, yes, we may have surprised them. We may have pulled the gun early, and we may have made the move without coordinating it with everybody. But when they see how successful we are, they'll join. And that was a miscalculation. And yes, Nasrallah began shooting at us on October 8th, but he did not really try to occupy northern Israel. And just so you know, Tony, we were more afraid of Nasrallah in Lebanon than of Hamas. And so in the first few hours of October 7th, the special forces of Israel were actually on their way to the north. We thought this is a distraction, and the real problem is going to come from the north.
So explain to our viewers and listeners why that threat is greater.
Look, Hezbollah, if Gaza is the largest military, the largest terror base in the world, Hezbollah is the strongest terrorist organization on planet Earth right now. They're holding 250,000 rockets. They're holding special forces, underground facilities, UAVs. They can shoot from surface to air, from surface to surface, and they can shoot from coast to sea. They have the latest technology, the latest weapons. They are the testing ground of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard for whatever new that is coming out. And so Hezbollah is out there as the front of the Iranian regime to be the buffer. In fact, Iran doesn't want Israel to attack Iran. So they created an army of proxies that will do the job for Iran. and will cause us to be busy and exhausted by fighting the proxies. And we were absolutely convinced on October 7th, that morning, that the worst is actually coming from the north. And Hamas was also surprised that nothing came from the north. And that was a miracle. Tony, it was a miracle. If Israel would have been attacked simultaneously from the east, from the south, from the north, and from the southwest, I'm not sure we would have this conversation right now.
Now, I was talking to a retired general who's now in the government, another agency, and he said, we failed on October the 7th. And so I pressed him on that. He said it several times. I said, all right, you mentioned you failed. Explain. Was it over-reliance on technology? What was it? He said, yes, it was over-reliance on technology, but it was also arrogance.
It was arrogance, exactly. I'm glad he said that. We underestimated them, and we overestimated ourselves. And it was arrogance. And not only that, I think the military in Israel was captured in a conception that Hamas is deterred, that we're strong, and the worst is that in the last 6 months before October 7th, the military was more engaged in the political upheaval than taking care of what the military is there for.
You are listening and watching Washington Watch. We're in Jerusalem. Amir Sarfati, my guest. Amir, I want to thank you for coming down today. You live actually in the northern part of Israel. You drove down to be with us today. Let's talk about what's happening up north. Just this week, a number of rocket attacks, very short period of time. What's going on?
You know, over the past 1 week, more Israeli strikes in Lebanon than the last 4 months combined. We're at 4,500 strikes in Lebanon, whereas the first 4 months were less than 1,500. That means that Israel decided that we can no longer allow this situation where, for no apparent reason, we're being attacked from the north, and over 82,000 Israelis are not at home. They're gone. Israel's always had this agenda that if you want to fight me, fine, let's do it in your territory. Right. And now, for the first time, although we fight in their territory, northern Israel is deserted.
So explain to our viewers and listeners for just a moment, when you have the Biden administration talking about, well, we need a two-state solution, that's not even workable when you consider Samaria, Judea, the heartland of the Bible, which would essentially cut out the middle of Israel and allow them to be right there in the heart of Israel.
I think that it's a mantra that the State Department has been holding on to for the longest time. Tony, if it was up to the State Department, Israel would have not been acknowledged as a state in 1948.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So let's put it this way. But I do want to explain that there are some strong powers in the U.S. administration right now, and also some of them are behind the scenes, that are pushing hard for a two-state solution because they are taking advantage of this crisis as an opportunity. They think that right now, everybody wants to put an end to this war, so the best thing is, boom, two states. By the way, Hamas doesn't want it. The Palestinians don't want a Jewish state next to them. They can tell you that. And Israel doesn't want it, especially now.
Well, wasn't Gaza, wasn't that what a two-state solution looks like?
Exactly. And you know, look, everywhere the Palestinians are saying the same thing. They're saying Israel is Palestine. We don't want another Palestine. Our emblem is the state of the map of Israel. We teach our children that that's our country. This is our country. We're not for us to agree and sign on a paper that says that this piece of land is not ours. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's never going to happen. So before you fix a solution, why don't you ask the two parties what they think about it?
That's actually kind of arrogance on America's part.
It is, but I don't think it's all of the America. I think that this administration is a puppet administration. Very big, powerful elements are behind the scenes working their way to bring about a forced solution to a problem that will never be solved politically.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, right. You know, I think we can have a managed peace in this region. It's going to be temporal, but I mean, at its heart, there's not a political solution. There's not a military solution.
There is. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there were a lot of Israelis who were known as peaceniks. They believed in peace. They demanded peace. They sang for peace. They voted for peace.
They were in the kibbutz.
They lived right there. The strongest presence of peaceniks that I'm talking about lived on the border of Gaza, and they were those who were butchered by the people to whom they helped and extended a lot of aid and all of that.
And they're now filled with questions, because I've talked to some of them.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. 80% of them are now questioning things. 20% are still captured in that, you know, political view of, you know, it's our problem, it's our mistake, they're innocent, blah, blah, blah. But look, I've always said to be a leftist is not just a political view. It's a mental state. I'm sorry to say that. To be a liberal leftist who really, truly believe that when your enemy says he wants to kill you, he actually means well. It's
also a spiritual.
It's a spiritual.
Because you can't determine right from
so
wrong.
So we call it spiritual.
Yeah.
But they will not agree with you.
No. They wouldn't agree with me on a lot of stuff.
That's true.
So, Amir, let's talk about, you got a new book coming out.
Correct.
On Daniel.
Yes.
A little bit of biblical prophecy there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Hamas may have tried to determine the future of Israel. Maybe the enemies all around us, they're trying to shape and form the future of Israel. God has already told thousands of years ago to the prophets what the future of Israel is going to be. And the most comprehensive revelation of the future of Israel was given to Daniel. And when I started writing this book, it was way before October 7th. And to have the book coming out in a couple of months, it's just amazing timing for me. So, yeah, I'm urging people to go and grab it.
So where can they find copies? It doesn't come out until May.
Correct. May 4th, but they can pre-order it now already on Amazon. And if the pre-orders numbers are good, we will find this book in secular places such as Walmart and Target, places that are promoting the exact opposite agendas.
So what questions will this book answer for people?
This, first of all, it's a book that will explain the book of Revelation much better for you, because the two goes together. Jesus himself talked about what is written in the book of Daniel, explaining the future events of Israel, but also it will help you understand the complete picture of the future of the people and the city of Jerusalem. And let's face it, it's all about Jerusalem.
Yes,
let's
is.
Face it, even Hamas's attack is Taufan al-Aqsa, it's the flood of Al-Aqsa.
Yes.
It's all about that.
That is the Temple Mount.
Exactly.
That is what, that's what they've, mm-hmm. they've
yep.
called this entire battle.
Yep. So we're going to talk about that, what's going to happen, who's going to run the show, and what the future is going to bring. It's phenomenal, because even at the time, Daniel was so accurate, and he would tell King Nebuchadnezzar of a future Greek king that will come without even knowing who is. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is.
So just the way it was so accurate then, it is even more accurate now and more important now to hold on to the biblical truths and plans of God and not to let the enemy mess up with our minds.
All right, Amir, we only have like 10 seconds left. So where are we in God's timetable?
I believe we're literally right before the great war of Ezekiel. And I believe that that great war of Ezekiel will eventually lead to the rise of the Antichrist, which means, as far as I'm concerned, we're out of here before that.
Well, brother,
Thank you.
Appreciate you praying for you.
Thank you so much
for joining us today.
Thank you.
Amir Sarfati, check out the new book on Daniel. You have a website as well. We'll have that at the website. All right, folks, we're out of time for today. From Jerusalem, I'm Tony Perkins. You know what to do. When you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action,
For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.